back on the Bengals Beat podcast. Lindsey Patterson, Tyler Dragon, Charlie Goldsmith. How you fellas doing?
Doing pretty good. It's an early record today. I'm up in the morning. Got two cups of coffee already, so I'm wired and ready. How about you two?
Iced coffee every day is the strategy that I use. It's one of my highlights of my day. No cream, no sugar. And I have already had a cup of iced coffee today, and things are going well.
No cream or no sugar, just straight black.
Straight black iced coffee.
Wow. Okay.
I'll say this. I'm definitely an oat milk girl, and I need some raw sugar. Starbucks spoiled me for that, but I can't, Charlie. I have to have a little sugar, a little sweetener in my coffee. I don't know how you do it, even in an iced coffee.
It's just very good. It's just very good, I guess, is all I can. You can't really explain it, if that makes sense.
All right, we'll move on. And as everybody knows, a little bit of a dead period between now and training camp for the Cincinnati Bengals. We are a month away from the official date. All of the times we'll have all of that information over the next week or so. But I want to go ahead and get to it because it was a headline yesterday, and it's someone that we're going to be talking about for a while to be determined on if and when the Bengals do pick up Jesse Bates' extension. For me personally, my guess it's going to be during training camp like they normally do when it comes to extensions. But there was a piece on NFL.com yesterday, and it was talking about the 25 and under players in the NFL, and Jesse Bates made the list. When you think of the Bengals roster, and I'm going to put Joe Burrow aside because he's the quarterback, is Jesse Bates the best player on the Cincinnati Bengals team?
Well, you can even include Joe Burrow. So I'll say this. Bates is the best player on the Bengals team. He's not the most important player. That obviously belongs to Joe Burrow. It's such a quarterback-driven league that most teams, the quarterback is the most important player. Maybe you can make the argument all teams, quarterback is the most important player. But the best overall player, I would say, is Jesse Bates. I don't even think there's really a question. If you were to look at individual players on the Bengals, Bates is the only player without a doubt in the top five in his position. And some people think he's the best at his position. So there's no other Bengal where you can say, okay, he's a top five player at his position. And for those who play Madden, I hate to use this as an example, but I know there's a lot of Madden players who listen to this podcast. Bates is going to have the best, the highest rated. He's going to be the highest rated player on that video game. So, I mean, that will tell you too. And there's people that actually study the game and look at the game and see, okay, these are the best players on the field. So, I mean, they're pretty knowledgeable when it comes to player ratings, and Bates is going to be the highest rated player, and for good reason. The only one that made the all pro team last year. So I don't think there's any question that he is the best player on the team. Is he the most important player? No, but yes, I do think he's the best player.
It's more than that too. And I think this includes Joe Burrow and Tyler Boyd and Joe Mixon. If you look at schematically the most, the player the scheme revolves around the most, look at offense and defense independent, you know, the offensive scheme is very much influenced by the collective of the weapons and the breadth of skill position players the Bengals have built. The entire defense is kind of revolved around Jesse Bates. He is one of the few kind of like center field safeties, I like to call it. The range that he is able to cover completely changes how the Bengals line up and run the rest of their defense in front of them. He is such a special player in terms of the ground he can cover and the playmaking skills he has when the ball's in the air, like a true center fielder, that he literally changes everything that happens in front of him. If you remove Jesse Bates from that scheme, the Bengals might have to change everything. You can't say, you know, even without Joe Burrow last season, the Bengals were still running similar concepts offensively. Obviously, Joe Burrow is the most important player, but in terms of scheme and what they run, Jesse Bates is almost impossible to replace.
I think you could even say that Jesse Bates is the top safety in the NFL. Now, Tyler will criticize me for that comment, but I still feel that way when you look at what Jesse Bates was able to do last season. Do you think he can have a similar year going into 2021 or even better?
Of course, especially if this is going to be a contract year for him and the Bengals don't give him an extension. Now, I don't think that will happen. I do think that, you know, the Bengals are trying to give him an extension and make him one of the top paid safeties in the league. But yeah, he's I think there's no doubt about it that he is going to have another stellar season and could wind up on another all-pro team. And maybe a Bengal will be a Pro Bowler in 2021. And I think the best candidate for that is Jesse Bates. So I don't have any doubt in my mind that he can have another really good season. And he's motivated to have a good season. He wants to prove that he is, if not the best safety in the league, one of the best safeties in the league. And he proved it last year. And he wants to prove it again. You know, as an athlete, you want to, you know, stay on top and you want to make sure that you're well respected around the league and you don't want to be a one hit wonder. And not saying that Jesse Bates is, but he's had one really, really good season and you want to continue that trend so people don't think, oh, well, that's just an anomaly. No, he wants to be a perennial all pro player and maybe for his sake, a perennial Pro Bowl player.
And what's one of my favorite stories I wrote last year was about Jesse Bates. There just aren't many players in football who have improved as much as Bates over the last 7-8 years. Coming out of high school, Jesse Bates was basically ready to go to, I believe, Ball State. He only had MAC offers. And then Wake Forest had a safety decommit at the last second in a hotel room. On basically a last second whim, Wake Forest's coaches decided to give this safety Jesse Bates a shot because they liked his athletic tools. Then he basically right away became one of the best safeties in the ACC. Then he became a second round pick. Then he became a starter right away in Cincinnati and forced Cincinnati's hand from a roster perspective because of, again, how much he forced his way into the starting lineup. And then in just 2-3 seasons became one of the best safeties in the NFL. That is such an impressive rise that you don't doubt players like that who have improved that much in that short of
I think one of the most impressive things about Jesse Bates, we've all obviously had time to talk to him over the last couple of years, and for how young he is, just a leader and how much he does care about winning on the defensive side, what he brings in as a vet on the defensive side is pretty impressive. But I think no insider information on this at all, but just past history with what the Bengals were able to do. I mean, you look at Joe Mixon, other contract extensions that have happened during training camp. For some reason, I feel like it's going to be the second week of August, right before they start to wrap up their preseason, their 3 games preseason, they're going to find a way to extend Jesse Bates before the season even starts.
I don't think anybody would be surprised based on the Bengals' track record with giving their key players extensions right before the season. Even last year, it was Joe Mixon's turn. And the year before that, it was Tyler Boyd's turn. So the Bengals have a history of doing that. And I know Jesse Bates wants to be paid like one of the upper echelon safeties in the league. And I mentioned that in the story of which safety he wanted to be paid in the ballpark of. So I'm not even going to give it up because you have to read the story. But I know that for a fact. This isn't just hearsay.
And in all seriousness, Jesse Bates has earned the opportunity to be one of the top paid safeties in the NFL. You know, we hear that all the time. We kind of joked about Trey Turner last week wanting Pro Bowl money. He didn't get it, and that wasn't where he was at in his career. But as much as anybody in the NFL, Jesse Bates is at the point in his career where he deserves that kind of salary.
We'll flip sides. You mentioned Joe Mixon from last year when it comes to that extension, his impact going into the season. Obviously, he has to stay healthy. We've talked plenty about the wide receiver room. What's Joe Mixon's workload going to look like this season?
Well, I know he wants more of a workload than what he got last year. And I mean, even in limited opportunities last year, he only was healthy in really 6 games. So what Zach Taylor thinks and what Joe Mixon thinks and what I think are probably 3 different things. But we all know that the Bengals offense, they like to throw the ball a lot. Now, that is obviously going to affect Joe Mixon and how many carries he gets. Now, I honestly think Joe Mixon should get around 20 to 25 touches a game. Now, that's not all handoffs. That's throwing him passes out of the backfield, which Zach Taylor and, you know, Coach Callahan, they have all said that they want to give Joe Mixon some passing opportunities. So I do think in that 20 to 25, you know, touch range is, you know, a good spot for the Bengals and Mixon. And I know Mixon wants to get 20 to 25 touches a game, and probably more of the 20 to 22 handoffs a game. So, I mean, that's what he wants. I don't think he'll probably get that. And then the Bengals want to, you know, save him and save his legs and, you know, limit the amount of wear and tear on his body, since obviously he didn't play most of the season last year because of his foot injury. He wants to be a 1,000-yard rusher once again. And, you know, a lot of people overlook him when they talk about the best running backs in the league. And he wants to be mentioned among the best running backs in the league. And, you know, a lot of times the benchmark to, you know, really rate running backs, okay, you look at their, you know, how many yards they rush for a game, you know, how many yards they average, how many touchdowns they're getting. And then at the end of the season, did you get that 1,000-yard threshold, which, you know, a lot of running backs aim for at the beginning of the season? And Joe Mixon missed it last year due to injury, but he had it in two consecutive years prior, and he wants to get that again. So I do think he's going to have an impact, but not as big as an impact as he wants. And that's just because the Bengals like to throw the ball. That's their, you know, philosophy. They want to throw the ball 35 plus times a game. And a lot of times they need to because they're behind. So I don't think Joe Mixon is going to get the amount of carries as he wants. But when it's all said and done towards the end of the season, if he stays healthy, knock on wood for his sake, I do think he's going to be right around that 1,000-yard threshold again.
And that's exactly the point. You know, you mentioned Joe Mixon and Zach Taylor kind of might have different perspectives, but at the end, honestly, it's not even up to either of them. They both have zero control over how many carries Joe Mixon ends up getting. The only thing that impacts how big of a role Joe Mixon has is what happens in the game itself. Obviously, that's something you can prepare for, but not something you can necessarily predict. You know, what comes to mind when I think of Joe Mixon is the Cleveland Browns. And I go back specifically to the Bengals week two game against them on Thursday Night Football, and how Nick Chubb, with like 4 minutes left, just ran the ball right up the middle, ran out the clock, and just destroyed the Bengals defensive tackle group. And that's how Cleveland clinched that game. Joe Mixon's as good at that as anybody. You know, we've seen that in his 2018 and 2019 seasons. We've seen what he can do on, you know, on first downs, on second downs, as just someone who can make people miss behind the line of scrimmage, as someone who's like really creative in finding the right angle, and is one of the 12 best running backs in the NFL, maybe 10, maybe 8. You know, he's clearly in that group. But again, last season, because the Bengals were just down so often, they didn't have the luxury to give Joe Mixon the ball as much as they would like. And that's why Giovanni Bernard played as much as he did. And, you know, this, of course, is now the big talking point with Mixon. You know, now there's no Bernard. What does it mean for Mixon? Mixon was a great receiving back in college. All of that together leads you to believe that Mixon could also have a bigger role when the Bengals are in those down situations this season. Regardless, he's a very productive player. But also regardless, you kind of can't prepare for a week-to-week basis how many touches Joe Mixon's going to get.
Yeah, no Gio right now, a little bit of running back depth, and I think just learning how to balance this offense. And for Joe Mixon, he's got to stay healthy too. I think that's one of the biggest factors with this offense going into 2021, because they are going to need Joe Mixon. We'll stay with the offense right now. I know it's a dead period, but there's no offseason for Joe Burrow updates. Tyler, do you have any new information on how the quarterback's doing during this time?
Well, I don't have – well, I guess I do have new information, because this is another week in his – rehab process. So he'll officially be 7.5 months removed from surgery tomorrow. So, I mean, it's not huge news, but that is news. That means, you know, he's progressing along. What I'm hearing, there are still no setbacks in his recovery. Once training camp gets here, he'll be 8.5 months into his rehab. And as I've said, as doctors have told me, his type of recovery timeline is 9 to 12 months. So that puts him right smack dab in week one playing, because he'll be a little over 10 months removed from surgery when week one happens. So, yeah, it's not a huge update, but there are no setbacks still. He's still doing good. And, you know, motivation to play in week one is as high as ever still. And by all means, it does look like he is still going to be available and full go when the Bengals kick off the season against the Minnesota Vikings at Paul Brown Stadium.
This is something we've discussed on this podcast before. I am not on Instagram. I'm anti-Instagram, and we could go on about that on a separate podcast. But even though I'm not on Instagram, and I don't even follow Joe Burrow on Twitter, I've noticed that Joe Burrow has gotten really good at the cryptic, exciting Instagram posts, just because they all get screenshotted on my timeline. Just the last couple months, we had the knee scar with the jersey. And then, what was it, a week ago, maybe earlier this week, we had see you in September. And that is as much of a Joe Burrow update as you could hope to ask for. Again, just congratulations to Joe Burrow for getting very good at Instagram. I sincerely mean that, because it's even popping up on my timeline now. And I guess those words, see you in September, tell you everything you need to know.
You don't have to follow a single player on any social media. That stuff will pop up in your timeline. I don't have to. I'll see it in there, because there's plenty of people retweeting it. And the thing about Joe Burrow, he tweets every once in a while. He'll post every once in a while. But you're right, Charlie. It's all pretty cryptic. And as of now, Joe Burrow is ready for September. Again, training camp about a month away. I threw this out on Twitter and over on our Instagram, E&Q Bengals. I'm going to take one from Instagram, one from Twitter. We'll do questions of the week. And we'll get to this one, because we've talked wide receivers plenty on this podcast. And one of the questions on Twitter was, give me the top wide receivers in the AFC North.
Now I know we're going to disagree
on 100%.
This. All right. So I thought about this and I made a top seven. I think these seven really stand out to me and who are the best receivers in the AFC North. And I ranked them 1 through 7. So I think you guys know who my number one is.
And I don't agree with you already. His name, I'm going to say you're wrong. He doesn't even make my list.
Wow. Okay. No, hold on.
Not to say he doesn't make my list, but he's not in my top.
Okay. So my number one is Odell Beckham. My number two is Tyler Boyd. My number three is Jarvis Landry. My number four is T. Higgins. My number five is Juju Smith-Schuster. Now, my number six, I went back and forth with this. Well, no, I'm going to explain my list after I say it. My number six is Ja'Marr Chase. And my number seven is Hollywood Brown. Now, I'll go real quickly and explain my list. I kind of alluded to it and explained it last week with my reasoning with Odell Beckham. I think he's the most talented and has the most skill and is the best overall receiver in the division. Yes, he's been injured, but when healthy, Odell Beckham is one of the top eight or so receivers in the league, in my opinion. Tyler Boyd, I don't think he gets enough credit nationally. He is easily one of the best slot receivers in the NFL, and that's why I believe he's number two. Jarvis Landry, Mr. Reliable, probably the best hands in the division. One of the toughest receivers, runs over the middle. I think he's deserves to be number three. T. Higgins, he's up there. Rookie season tied the Bengals rookie catch record with Chris Collinsworth. I think it's self-explanatory. He had a dynamic rookie year. Hopefully his sophomore season, he improves on what he did in his first year. Juju Smith, kind of a down year last year, but he's the best receiver in Pittsburgh, and he has the ability to, you know, run every route and run over the middle, and has, you know, that big play ability after the catch. Now, with Ja'Marr Chase number six, it's real hard to rate rookies because we don't really know how they're going to transition on the field. Yes, we can predict and we can assume. And the way we think of Ja'Marr Chase could easily be top five in this list, easily could be top three. Now, a number five pick in the NFL draft, you would hope that he can be up in that number one, number two, number three best receivers in AFC North. But it's impossible to say because he hasn't played one single snap yet. So we're just projecting at this point. And right now, it's a compliment, in my opinion, to have him at number six when he hasn't even played a down of football in the NFL. And have him over a player like Hollywood Brown, number seven, who has made, you know, a lot of plays in this league. Is there the Ravens deep threat, Lamar Jackson's number one receiver, and, you know, the number one receiver on the Ravens. So that is my top seven, and that is why I have it in that order.
I ranked them 1 through 12. I'll just rattle it off. And I guess if anyone has any questions, I'll be happy to defend myself on this podcast or on Twitter or however any of you guys or any listeners want to do it. So here we go. Number one, Tyler Boyd. Two, Chase Claypool. Three, Odell Beckham. Four, T. Higgins. Five, Jarvis Landry. Six, Juju Smith-Schuster. Seven, Hollywood Brown. Eight, Ja'Marr Chase. Nine, Rashad Bateman. 10, Sammy Watkins. 11, Deontay Johnson. 12, Rashard Higgins.
I like it. And honestly, mine is, it's not in any order, which everyone's going to hate, but these are my top wide receivers in
the Lindsay, you're not going to order them?
No, I'm not. I'm not. Right there. I'm not, because when I was making this list, I was having a hard time with it, because I will say this, the Baltimore Ravens, their wide receiver class doesn't equal the rest of the AFC North. But when you look at the wide receivers in the other division, I agree with you. I'd put Tyler Boyd up there. Jarvis Landry, I think, is the best wide receiver on the Cleveland Browns. Odell Beckham.
Best wide receiver in the division?
No. I think it could be close. And I think it could be close with Jarvis and the rest of the division. I honestly think that's a great conversation. And I agree with you guys when it comes to Ja'Marr Chase. He's a little bit down on my list if I were to rank all of them right now. And that's just to be determined. See him in his rookie year. See if he can have that same connection with Joe Burrow. He has a chance to move up if we did this ranking at the end of the season, which I'm guessing we're probably going to do, because wide receivers is taking over with the AFC North talk. Chase Claypool, I have him ahead of Juju in my list. When I look at the wide receivers right now, I think he has a chance to really step up after last season, and then Hollywood Brown. But I think if you were to just, the conversation could be, when you look at the AFC North wide receivers, is just how the Baltimore Ravens don't have the same room that equals the rest of the teams in the AFC North.
An interesting thought exercise as I was going through this is I had Hollywood and Ja'Marr right next to each other. Like, how much of Ja'Marr Chase's role this season as he breaks in as a rookie is going to parallel what Hollywood Brown's role is in Baltimore? Because, you know, obviously when the Bengals drafted Ja'Marr, the whole talking point was deep threat, playmaker on the outside, yards after catch, get him the ball in the backfield, even as the most explosive weapon in the backfield. And obviously Ja'Marr Chase can be so much more than that, specifically with his ability to make contested catches. He's probably already better at that now than Hollywood Brown is. But the Bengals already have a few receivers who are good at that as well. And obviously Ja'Marr Chase is a rookie breaking into the league. So those two receivers, and contrasting their role and their style of play this season, I think will be an interesting benchmark again, Jamar's going to be better than Hollywood Brown, I think. But this year, how similar types of players are there?
So both of you two have Tyler Boyd as the best receiver in AFC North.
I do.
I do, and I think that can change, and that is nothing against Tyler Boyd at all. Because for some reason, I think T. Higgins takes a major, major step if Joe Burrow is healthy for a full season.
So you think T. Higgins could be the first in the AFC North?
Yeah, if Jamar Chase doesn't step up. It's such a hard discussion when you look at the Bengals wide receiver room, because all of these guys, I feel like the ranking could change midseason. It could change. It's a good problem to have if you're the Cincinnati Bengals when you look at the wide receivers. That's what I'll
say. I hope Odell Beckham is not listening to this podcast.
It's nothing against Odell Beckham, because and I want to say this. There's nothing against Odell Beckham. Well, I know we had the discussion last week, and honestly, my favorite thing about podcasts is having disagreements. We're all not going to agree on everything, or that'd be pretty boring. I got to see Odell back out there. And I think if you're playing the comparison game of other wide receivers and their talent and their health, and they're not coming off that injury, I just don't have him as high on my list. Could that change? 100%. But for some reason, when I look at the Cleveland Browns, I'm more in the Jarvis category if I were to rank the Cleveland Brown wide receivers.
When I look at Odell, I just look at how much he struggled last season and then how much better the Browns offense played without him. How in a lot of ways Rashard Higgins was a better weapon for Baker Mayfield for a lot of the season than Odell Beckham was. That's just concerning to me. Then you add in the injury. Then you add just the turbulence of Odell Beckham's career, just from an on-field perspective, exclusively looking at that, how even in Cleveland, he's never settled into a specific role in the offense. You know, I love his break on deep balls, but then, you know, when you're comparing him to someone like even Tyler Boyd or Chase Claypool, I think you can line them up in more ways than Odell Beckham Jr. at this stage in Beckham's career. I think that, you know, their explosiveness is comparable, where previously Odell Beckham's explosiveness was his best trait. And now, again, what Boyd and Claypool can do with physicality over the slot trumps what Beckham can do in the slot and in contested situations right now. Beckham beats him as a deep ball receiver, but not by as much as he used to.
I can't wait to the season, and I'm just going to say, tell you guys, I told you so.
All right. I can't wait to eat that Jeff Ruby's dinner when we are talking about the Bengals wide
receiver. We should, in future podcasts, we should rank the top players in each position group. I think that will be a good debate point for all of us, and I know our fans enjoy it, so I think we should do that going in our podcast.
Well, Tyler, it is a dead period between now and training camp. Don't worry. That's coming soon.
Quarterback might be a hot debate, too.
I'm all in for those discussions, and we have about a month until they report to camp. So, yes, those will be coming over the next few weeks. I want to wrap it up with this. I do enjoy the Twitter questions, Instagram questions. Keep them coming. I'll throw it out before we record every week, and we'll make sure we get to these preseason and regular season. So, appreciate it. Follow along over on E&Q Sports, E&Q Bengals. Tyler, I'm going to wrap it up actually with your questions of the week.
Okay, well, I only have one question because I was hoping one of you two had a question. So while I ask this question, you two could think of a question to ask. I mentioned it a little bit before. Jesse Bates is most likely going to be the number one rated player on the Bengals in Madden. Who do you think the top five players on Madden for the Bengals will be?
So for 2021.
I think it'll be the 2022.
Yes, yes. So that would, the two clear-cut ones would be Bates and Boyd. And I think Mixon is a clear-cut number three, as I think those are just in general, like last season when they've been healthy previously, those have been the fringe Pro Bowl players in general. Number four, I'll take Trey Hendrickson. He's not a perfect player. We've discussed that ad nauseum after the signing, replacing Carl Lawson. I think Carl Lawson might be like the number one or two highest ranked player out of this group, but I think that Trey Hendrickson is the next most talented player on the defense. And we're talking Madden rewards players like that. He put up a lot of stats, and that's obviously good. Number five, I'll take, you know, I see Joe Burrow more as an 84. just because Madden kind of puts the quarterbacks on a scale, but that still might be number five for the Bengals. And again, Joe Burrow is great, but you know, it would be ideal to have a higher ranked player than say an 84, 85, but I'm not sure I see that aside from those players I just mentioned. So I'll go with Joe Burrow number five.
I'm going to go offensive heavy right now. Joe Mixon, Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. I think obviously when you look at the ball right now in the wide receiver room, they've got to balance it out. And I'm missing one player right now, and I'm still trying to decide as I'm rambling on in my head right now of who I would make number five. But right now, Burrow, Higgins, Joe Mixon, Tyler Boyd. And the only reason I say that for Joe Burrow, and I know a lot of people maybe not be high on the rating, is because of all of his offensive weapons right now. I think at number five, Tyler, I'm going to go ahead and have you go.
Well, you can say Jesse Bates is your number five.
I'll just put Jesse Bates in there. As I'm rambling, I'm like, who do I want my number five? I'm going so offensive heavy right now. Who would I flip to on the other side? I think when Charlie brought up Trey Hendrickson, he's going to have to step up this season, obviously with the replacement of Carl Lawson. I think that's going to be one of the biggest question marks going into 2021. So I guess when we're looking at their Madden ratings in 2022, that would be big if Trey did step up.
So I kind of agree with both of you two. It would be Jesse Bates for me. I think he might be the only Bengal player to get around a 90 rating. Then I would probably have Tyler Boyd, then Joe Mixon. Then it gets kind of dicey because I think after those two, I think all the players will, well, the next four and five will be mid to low 80s based on how Madden usually rates. And so I will probably go with Trey Hendrickson. And man, number five is tough.
You made this question, Tyler.
I know. But I didn't really think about number five too much.
Let me just interject real quick. This is a reason that, you know, for example, Vegas is so low on the Bengals this season. Madden rankings are dumb, but they mean how much talent and how much top talent is on your team. And the fact that we're struggling to come up with number four and number five does say a little something about a weakness in the Bengals overall roster this
year. Yeah. Yeah. Most definitely. You know, it could, it's either T. Higgins, it might be Jamar Chase.
I know. It's hard, man. I wouldn't
be surprised if it's Trey Waynes either. And though these are like low 80s. And it could be Joe Burrow as well. And that's not a knock on Joe Burrow. I, like Charlie said, I think Madden is going to give him a low 80 rating. And that's one because of injury and how Madden rates quarterbacks. I do think he'll be the highest rated second year quarterback behind Justin Herbert, and he'll be above Tua. I think Tua is going to get like a 70 something rating. But yeah, that's where I have it. Joe Burrow would probably get my number five, but he won't be too far above the other players I mentioned.
I like it. Good stuff. Plenty of comparison rankings before we get to training camp. I promise more is on the way. Guys, I know there's plenty on Cincinnati.com and coming up over on The Enquirer. What's up there?
Well, if you follow me, you know that I've been covering the track and field Olympic trials. So that's pretty much been my world for the last 2 weeks. But I do have a story coming up on the Bengals. I talked to Chad Johnson recently, and he had a lot of good things to say about the Bengals wide receiver room. So you're going to want to read that story. It'll be up this week.
All the story on it, it's kind of a whole new class of defensive tackles in the Bengals room this season. It's funny, Josh Tupu's the most experienced guy, and I just looked at most experience in terms of games played with the Bengals, and I looked at what that room could look like in 2021. On the Reds side, I'm really excited about a story I'm working on Sean Doolittle, the Reds reliever.
Make sure you check it out, Cincinnati.com. Plenty of content coming your way. And thank you for listening to the Bengals Beat Podcast.